Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome to today's program Josh Hunt, who is Director of Integration Software Systems at Lean Logistics. And today we're going to talk about E Pluribus Unum, the unification of transportation management. And I kind of like this title because it kind of reflects the reality of transportation management today. You know, transportation executives have to deal with multiple modes, multiple lanes, multiple systems, you know, just multiple everything when it comes to, you know, managing the transportation operations. And there's a strong desire to kind of really try to unify that as much as possible, unify their ability to plan and execute the transportation operations, and then obviously unification around the data and visibility to what's happening. But historically, that's been more of a challenge, you know, to do. But thanks to some developments on the technology front, we're seeing some improvements in that area. And, you know, so we're here with Josh today, who's kind of in the front lines, both working with customers and kind of hearing from them in terms of what they want to do from a transportation management standpoint, as well as from the technology side, and kind of share some perspectives in terms of, you know, what's happening there to help with this unification. Just want to remind those of you that are joining us today that, you know, part of our goal here at Talking Logistics is to make this conversational. So if you do have a question for Josh as we're having our conversation here, you can do so via the submit a question button, and I'll keep an eye on it. And if it's a good and appropriate question and we've got time, I'll try to weave it into the conversation. So with that, Josh, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Adrian. It's great to be here. Looking forward to our conversation today.
Great. Well, Josh, you know, before we kind of dive into this topic around unification of transportation management, since you're a first-time guest on Talking Logistics, I always like to kind of just real quick get a sense of, you know, how and why you got involved in this industry to begin with. So why don't we start there? Why don't you tell us briefly a little bit about your career path, how and why you got involved with supply chain logistics, and what your current role and responsibilities are there at Lean Logistics?
Yeah, sure. You know, I really come from a software development world. I started off working for a company locally here in Holland, Michigan called Digital Commerce, where I was a web developer there. And really, you know, that was late 90s. Everybody was looking for a web presence, and they wanted a storefront and, you know, shopping carts and all that sort of thing. So we were building those web presence for local companies in the West Michigan area. From there, we spun off from Digital Commerce into Lean Logistics in early 2000s. And, you know, from there, we built the first SaaS transportation management system. I moved on from pure development there to really going on and leading our data integration group at Lean Logistics, where we built our integration platform and did all the data integrations with our customers' ERPs and WMSs and such. And then about 3 years ago, I took on my current position here, which is a product manager at Lean Logistics, where I'm responsible for the product roadmap and really, you know, solving transportation issues out there in the marketplace. And the other day, we have company updates here, and we do anniversaries is one thing we do during the company updates. And they told me that I've been here for 16 years. So that's pretty cool. And it's been a fun journey along the way to watch us grow from just a handful of people to several hundred people.
That's great. 16 years is a great milestone. So congratulations. And I think going back to kind of where you started in your career, you know, certainly, you know, with e-commerce and the digital commerce, you know, a lot of those, you know, I would say more consumer facing technologies or interfaces are working their way into the enterprise side. And we're going to tackle that, you know, in a little bit here as well, because I think that's a big part of, you know, what will enable this unification of transportation management. So kind of to get the conversation started on the topic, I mean, you know, generally speaking, like I mentioned in my introductory remarks, you know, shippers want to manage their end-to-end transportation process in an efficient manner, right? And they want to achieve timely, accurate, and complete visibility to their transportation activities and performance metrics. But, you know, it's easier said than done, right? So, you know, it's a goal that they continue to work at. I mean, what have been and what are some of the main roadblocks or hurdles in the way?
Really, I think it falls into a couple of large areas, Adrian. One, I think, you know, as we, you know, do implementations with customers and things like that, I think Probably one of the biggest roadblocks to unifying even into a TMS is from a process standpoint. You know, if you've, say, grown your company through a merger and acquisition type of growth methodology where you're ending up at a certain point with maybe multiple business units or, you know, multiple different processes that are running across those business units, it can be hard to sort of get into each one of those processes, understand, you know, what we often refer to as tribal knowledge, and get that current state of information of how each of those groups is managing transportation. And then from that, having to build a standard process and standardizing across all those business units and areas of the business, that I think is a roadblock that we see a lot. And it takes an effort and it takes a leadership effort there to do that. I think the second major area is really along the technical sides, as you were referring to a little there, is, you know, if you do have multiple business units, you may see yourself in a situation where you have multiple ERP systems, multiple WMS systems. Maybe they're running different software. Maybe they're running the same software, but they're different versions. Maybe they're different on-site installations, where you've really got these different silos of data. And you need to perform those integrations to sort of bring it all together, you know, short of doing something like replacing an ERP system and standardizing, which we all know would be a large endeavor, and probably, you know, years worth of work there to do that sort of thing.
I agree. I mean, I hear the same things and see a lot of the same things with the shippers I talk to. You know, certainly I think, you know, historically, you know, a lot of shippers today that I talk to, they're trying to take that unified view and management across modes, for example. And some of them may have, you know, a private fleet, or they may work with, they may have a dedicated fleet that they're working with, or now they're trying to introduce parcel as part of their operations. And historically, you know, either they were managed by separate people within the organization, so inbound was managed separately than outbound. Private fleet was managed separately than, common carriers. So you had this kind of heterogeneous environment, as you alluded to, within the operations, you know, from a process standpoint and just how they manage it and were organized. And then obviously from a technology standpoint, I think absolutely. I mean, I think so many companies struggle with or have that operating reality where they have multiple ERPs, multiple enterprise systems, and even TMSs, right? They may have, you know, a TMS that was for private fleet, a TMS that was for parcel, a TMS that was for common carrier. So that environment is, you know, a reality, you know, for a lot of shippers. Do you agree, particularly with the TMS environment?
Yeah, and I think as you pointed out there, I think when you talk about different modes or directions, those kinds of things, they're making decisions, you know, way upstream about where that data goes. You know, and whether, you know, well, this is under 150 pounds, that's going parcel. So that's automatically, you know, sent off to another system or another process. If it's less than 250 miles away, it's going to go to my fleet because they can do that in a day. So I do think that's where you need to start to look more upstream and, you know, at these processes and where are we making decisions upstream that are not allowing us to get those insights on the downstream side of that.
That's a great point, because I mean, I think in many ways, shippers have set up those business rules, if you will, as a way to simplify the management. But I think in a lot of cases, they're arguably leaving money on the table, or they're leaving opportunities for efficiency on the table, you know, depending on how and where those decisions are being made. So let's talk now, you know, get a little bit deeper on the technology side and talk about some of the advancements, you know, taking place there. So I think, you know, I think it's clear, and I think we could probably have a whole episode that, you know, change management and how companies are organized internally and the process of design, that's got to happen, right? Before we even get to really talking about the technology piece. But once you get there, right, and on the technology front, you know, there's a lot happening that could help, right, with this unification. And one of the things that's been getting a lot of buzz lately, and it's something that I actually included in my predictions for 2016, is APIs, or you know, application programming interfaces. First of all, you know, what is an API, right? And if I'm a transportation executive, I mean, why should I care? I mean, what's the big deal about it?
Yeah, I first of all, they're super cool. Yeah, I think they've allowed us to do a ton of stuff. I think it's important to Actually, I found it as a simple thing. A lot of people don't know that that is an application programming interface. It's one of those technology terms that I think has worked its way up from the technical side into common nomenclature for everyone to talk about APIs. But I think at their simplest level, they're a way for one application to describe to another application ways to interact with me. So I can say, hey, here are the pieces of data, here are the functions that are available from in a programmatic fashion that you can get from my application. I think a good example of that maybe is if you're a customer service representative at a company and you've got a customer on the phone and they're saying, hey, what's the ETA of my order? You may bring that order up in your order management system, and while you bring that page up, it's making a call across the internet to your transportation management system to say, hey, I've got order 123. What's the ETA date on that? I get a date returned to me, and it shows in a text field on my order management system. From a CSR standpoint, I don't know where that date came from. I'm not managing the transportation for that order, but I can communicate to my customer in one system and sort of one workflow with my customer, say, here's your ETA date. And it's live data. It's as of that moment I pulled that data in. So I think that's what it sort of does for me from a technical standpoint. I think from an executive standpoint, I think the broader view that you get, Adrian, is you can stop looking at sort of these siloed applications. So instead of having to think about the world and, here's an application installed here, an application installed here within my infrastructure, I can start to look at the world as a set of services that are available to me, that I don't have to maybe install that or host it or, more importantly, maintain it, right, and upgrade it over the years. And I can look at those as just services that I can utilize to drive my own workflow and my own process internally.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective, and I think I think it relates to how you design those processes. Obviously, if you think of them in terms of being able to call different applications, those that may reside within your own four walls, those that may be from a third party, whether it's a carrier that you're calling to get information from, or a supplier system, or again, even internally, whether it's communicating between ERP and WMS and TMS, right? Now, I mean, APIs are not necessarily new. I mean, I know, I mean, I don't go deep on the technology front, but I know I've been hearing about APIs, or I've seen APIs referred to for many, many years. I mean, why is it that it's kind of getting into the forefront today? Is it just like you said, it's kind of just getting into more layman's terms, and laymen are kind of paying more attention to it? Or is there anything specific around the nature of APIs that's different today than it was, let's say, a decade ago?
Yeah, I think one thing you would look at is, and this specifically, we're talking about, I think, web APIs, where maybe before you would talk about inner application communication within your own infrastructure. And those have existed for a long time, and how those applications talk to us. And I think the real revolution has been moving that to the internet. And so being able to host these services, anywhere in the world and interact with them. I also think that on the API side, the underlying technology and the protocols that are used for those APIs have become easier to use for developers. They've become a little more standardized on how they interact with each other, less overhead, less technology that you need to understand to implement those, especially from a developer standpoint. I mean, you'll see a developer, if you go out to some sort of place like an open source website like GitHub, you'll have entire applications that are built as sort of mashups of services that are available across the internet to make a completely new application out of all of these services, where these, one or two developers are using these really very powerful services to build a really cool little app.
No, that's great. And I think I see that as well. I mean, I certainly even within what we do here at Talking Logistics, we leverage APIs as well to be able to integrate and extract data and information from other sources as well. So certainly has become much more user friendly, if you will. Which leads me to my next question. I mean, a couple of years ago, I predicted that TMS vendors, were going to start investing more aggressively in improving, you know, the user interfaces and the user experience of their solutions. You know, this whole kind of consumerization, if you will, of enterprise applications. So how has, again, this consumerization or this focus on the user interface, user experience, you know, where are we today? I mean, how are we coming along there? And, you know, what types of improvements have been made to user interfaces to help with this unification of transportation management?
Yeah, it's a pretty exciting time to live in, I think. You know, I think everybody today has got an iPhone or an Android phone. And so I really think that this sort of user interface or user experience type, you know, terms have really become very popular to talk about. People understand what a good user interface is. Probably more so they understand what a bad user interface is and what a good user experience is like. If you follow sort of any of the Apple or Android OS updates at all, really, you can see at this point how really ultra nuanced they've become in their user interface design, you know, in deciding on where a drop shadow should be or should a button be here or a few pixels over to really enhance that user experience. And I think users across businesses love that stuff, and they're looking for, why can't this be at my work application? You know, why can't I have such a great experience also at work on my desktop applications, or what we're seeing more and more of our mobile applications in B2B? So I think that vendors are starting to listen to that, I think, and that user interface and workflow. And I think what's really going to be a challenge to them is ultimately, you know, if you're using, you know, Facebook or something like that, it's an experience, right? You spend time there, you read your family's updates, so it's an experience. If you're looking at a work application, you're ultimately there to be efficient and get things done. You want a good workflow and things, but it's more than just a good-looking app. Ultimately, I need to be very efficient with this application. I need the sophistication that this app brings. I need that at work. I need the details of the application, but I don't want the sort of complexity that comes along a lot of times with that sophistication. I think those are all balances that TMS is going to have to strike, and really these B2B applications, when they go into consumerization of this, how do you give the users the sophistication they want, the detailed rules and profiles and stuff that they want, but keep it easy and make it efficient to use?
Yeah, that's a great point, because I mean, when I, you know, historically when I've talked to companies and users, and this is regardless of the application type, but applies to TMS in particular, you know, one of the biggest complaints that they've always had with the application wasn't so much around features and functions. It was more around, gosh, to get my job done, I have to like open three different windows and I have to click 10 times to kind of get the answer or execute the process. You know, so this focus on how do I, using the user interface in a way that how can I get what I need to get done or see what I need to get, see what I need to see in a timely manner off of just one screen, right? And kind of strip away all the extraneous stuff that I don't need or want, and really hone in on being able to execute those specific tasks that I do day in and day out, and those bits of information that I need, you know, at my fingertips, if you will. So I've seen that as a key aspect of this. And the other one is the reality that different people have different roles and the ability to configure the user interface based on their specific role, whether they're more on the planning side versus the execution side, or whether they're more on the customer service side. Do you see that as well, as kind of minimizing the clicks and open windows and, you know, being able to configure the application to the specific role of the user as being kind of driving forces in this?
Yeah, I think what that really drives that and what that really challenges UI and UX designers to do is what you said, going across screens. It's not just one screen, it's multiple screens. It's a workflow, right? It's understanding the workflow of what a planner does. So if you look at sort of maybe a planner versus someone that's handling finance, you know, and you might have a screen that says, oh, maybe there's a screen here to search for status of my orders, you know, and finance uses that screen and a planner uses that screen. And you may look at that and say, you know what, you're going to end up with lots of configuration and things there to make that work for a planner and work for a finance person. Or instead of maybe looking at those things and say, we should separate these into different workflows for these users, understand intimately what a planner does day in and day out to be super efficient, and what a finance, someone maybe approving invoice is doing from an intimate standpoint in their workflow, and designing workflows to those users and their stories.
That's great. So I, you know, as part of your role there, I assume that you, you know, obviously you've got your own internal users because you've got, you know, kind of managed services aspect to your business. So I assume you kind of look at what they do, and then you also kind of visit with customers to see how they manage their transportation operations, or what their transportation operation processes and workflows look like, to help inform you as a developer or you as a product manager to kind of guide the direction. Is that kind of part of what you're tasked to do?
Yeah, there's the ultimate, like, you know, what do I need to get done during the day, and really understanding what their issues are. You know, I think a lot of the, you know, interactions with a TMS here really come down to sort of a to-do list of things. You know, I'm in here to do a job and get something done. I'm in here to get these 75 shipments planned and out the door today. So what does that immediately confront you with? And walking through those exact workflows, and yeah, getting down to observation of these users, observe how they're currently using the TMS. I mean, one of our things that we do here is we actually have an eye tracking piece of software. You hook it up to your computer and you let someone use the TMS, give them a set of tasks to do, or, you know, in our case with our managed services personnel, like, use this on a daily, perform your job in the TMS, and we'll record, you know, where your mouse is moving as long alongside where your eyes are moving within the TMS, to be able to say, hey, are we putting buttons and workflows in the right places for you to be really ultra efficient during the day? So there's a lot of observation there, Adrian, and I think that's how we gather a lot of that information.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. I hadn't heard about that. So some great user feedback collection mechanisms there. Shifting gears a little bit, I mean, I've been saying for a long time that when it comes to enabling, you know, supply chain innovations, you know, software is not enough, right? That you really need also, you know, B2B connectivity, which is why I've been for a long time a proponent of network-based, solutions. I mean, what is the role of a network, when it comes to, you know, facilitating this unification of transportation management?
So far, we've talked about how you get data out of your own infrastructure within your four walls and across different applications and maybe services that you're using. And I think when you move to a network-based solution like this, what you start to do is talk about your trading partners and talk about your carriers and your suppliers and other third parties that you're trading information with. So when you come on to a network-based solution like this, you really get all of that right away, right? You get all the connectivity that those suppliers have already gained with that transportation management system, whether that's through APIs like we talked about, whether that's through a traditional EDI integration, or if they're just coming through a web page portal and supplying that data. That's, you know, suppliers, carriers, those types of things. So they're on board already. You get the value of that right away on a network-based solution. And when we talked about earlier with APIs and service integrations, whether that might be an integration with a telematics provider or something like that, you're getting that from a network-based solution. And any integrations with your trading partners, those things become available to you once you're up and on that platform.
So going back to kind of the API piece, do you see that as becoming a more preferred approach moving forward for this extra company, intra-company kind of communication and collaboration, information exchange versus EDI? I mean, when I have this conversation with folks, is, you know, the question becomes, well, what is the role of EDI in all this? And is EDI on the downswinging? You know, are people going to move away from EDI in favor of APIs? Are they going to coexist? I mean, what are the trends? What are the trends you're seeing there between APIs, EDI, and web portals and other mechanisms to, bring in the external trading partners as part of the information and process flow.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing a move there to be more API-based. I think there's a couple of advantages to that. First of all, timeliness of data. You can go get it when you want it. So, as sort of an on-demand thing, if you're in the TMS and you're saying, I want data now, I can actually go get it from that trading partner and bring it in at that moment. And that facilitates all kinds of things, right? If I'm looking at a telematics system and I want to know where that truck is, I'm not waiting for maybe a once a day EDI from a carrier. I can go and actually bring up a map and query those vehicles at that moment to bring back that data and tell me where that is. So I think the more and more push to have timely data and then really manage by exception. Once you've got that timely data and you start to manage by exception, I want alerts that are based on real-time data, that are based on things that are happening now. So I think the more and more push to get real-time data, understand what's happening now, base my alerts and my exception management off of that, drives the use of really APIs there, where something that EDI is not really designed to do.
Right. No, and I see the same thing as well. I mean, the way I kind of put it is that as transportation executives, supply chain executives are being pressured to make smarter decisions faster, the ability to tap into, more timely and accurate data in a more efficient way is becoming much more important. So let's talk a little bit about, as transportation management becomes more unified, I mean, what new capabilities and benefits are possible? Can you share with us some kind of use case examples of kind of what you're seeing?
Yeah, I think you touched on a few of them when we led off here, Adrian, but I think as a general theme, it gives you insights into opportunities. So there's that recognition of opportunities that are out there within your network. So for example, inbound and outbound. So if you're managing and planning your outbound transportation in a TMS, if you can get your inbound data in there at the same time, you can start to see where you could maybe take over some of that vendor managed freight today and bring that under your own management, because I have carriers that serve those lanes. I have carriers that I can get better rates with, and I can provide backhaul opportunities or for your fleet, either one of those. Also, I think from a fleet versus for hire structure there, just getting those two side by side and being able to see the opportunities for insights there. Optimization then plays on top of that, right? Once you've got that data in there and I can maybe start to see where there are opportunities, my optimization runs and architecture there can start to look for those opportunities automatically that maybe you just as a human can't do at a certain volume. So once you get that data in there, I think that unification really brings those opportunities to plan and execute better and have opportunities that you wouldn't see otherwise. Also, Adrian, I think maybe one that's a little different than just data and side-by-side things is one of the things that a TMS does for me is from a standard operating procedure. I like to call it digitizing SOPs. If you've got a standard operating procedure, like if you think of something like a routing guide, it's really an SOP, really. You might have had a sheet in the old days that you looked through and decided how that got routed, where today that's a routing guide, and you're enforcing the use of that and your primary carriers and compliance with capacities that you've promised out there. And so what a TMS brings to you is that sort of policy enforcement. Routing guide's a good example, and there are lots of other ones. What accessorials are approved or denied? And letting the TMS sort of manage those things, and as those policies change, you're able to quickly implement those changes back into the TMS and immediately spread across your network and be applied and know for sure that they are applied and they're being implemented. So as you bring more data and more processes into a TMS, I think that policy enforcement piece is a really powerful idea that we see our users get great benefit from.
That's a great point. I mean, it goes back, brings us full circle to what we started the conversation with in terms of, trying to, part of that unification process really begins in terms of really taking a look at those processes, right? And trying to bring some standardization or, an understanding of how the various aspects of your transportation management operations work together, and then trying to enable, that management as efficiently as possible. And obviously, as you just talked right now, the TMS survey has that platform for enabling that kind of standard operating procedure, I think is a critical piece there. Josh, we're kind of coming up short on time here, so I'm just going to go, right to my last question here. And just simply, I mean, what steps do shippers take, today to start unifying, the transportation management capabilities?
Yeah, I think you can ask some basic questions of yourself. I mean, first ask, what transportation activity am I doing outside of my transportation management system? Or do I have a transportation management system? Might be a good first question. But if you do, what activities and what what things am I doing from a transportation perspective outside of that TMS? What freight am I managing outside of that TMS? After you do that, I think really the first step, Adrian, is just gaining visibility in that system to those other pieces of data. Like if we go back to our inbound outbound example, if you've got your outbound shipments in there and you're managing those and executing those, and you want to take a peek at what can I do with inbound, work with your TMS vendor and get that data into the TMS. Whether you're planning or executing it or not, I mean, that's a big step, right, to start taking that over. But just get it in and get visibility to it so that you can start running some metrics off it. You can start seeing lanes, side by side and where there are matchups. Start getting that data into the system, whether you're planning or executing it or not. And I think you'll be amazed at the opportunities and insights that'll provide to you.
I think that's great, great advice, because I think there is this, and you can, maybe this raises another question before we wrap up here. I think that there one approach is to say, you know what, we're going to put a TMS across our entire company, all business units, and a TMS that's going to do everything, every single mode, planning and execution, inbound, outbound, so on and so forth. And certainly that's one potential strategy. Another strategy is to almost to kind of get what you alluded to, and maybe it's a crawl, walk, run phase. It's like, hey, you don't have to necessarily do everything at once. You don't necessarily, you may already have existing applications or solutions in place that you may not want to be ready to rip out yet, but it's getting that data. Maybe this is where APIs and web services come in, but it's getting that data into a common platform to at least have that visibility to spend, have that visibility to where there might be inefficiencies in your processes. That's kind of the other, approach, is to, take that more moderate or more incremental approach to, unifying transportation management. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's a low barrier to entry. I think if you look at these systems, talk to your IT professionals, sometimes this data is more available than you think, you've got things like even uploads that you can perform manually into these TMSs. I think that that's a place to start. And if you're a transportation executive, maybe you need to make the case for this, this is a good way to do it. And certainly if you can get that data in there, represented in the same way your other data is, then you start to look at running those metrics and those reports to build your case for this maybe larger amount of work across your network.
Great, great. Well, with that, Josh, like I always say at the end of all our episodes, we always just manage to scratch the surface on these topics. But I think we put out a lot of food for thought for folks listening in today, and certainly appreciate you making the time to share your insights and perspective and advice on this topic.
Yeah, thanks, Adrian. I appreciate the invite.
And I want to thank those of you that joined us live today. We didn't get any questions, but if you are watching this episode on talkinglogistics.com, you're watching the archived version and you have got a question or a comment for Josh, go ahead, find the episode there on talkinglogistics.com, post a question or a comment there, and I'm sure Josh will be more than happy to respond via that medium. So again, thank you all for joining us today, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.